Childless, not by choice. We're going to be talking about the ups, the downs, the courage to go on, how to cope with being childless, or maybe how to just receive it as it is. These are the questions and the discussions that we're going to be talking about today, childless, not by choice. Did you know that an estimated 80% of women who don't have children today are childless by circumstance rather than by choice or medical reasons? A lot of people blame it on being professional, but I do have a young lady, I call her, and myself, we are both young ladies that I met not by coincidence.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. But the Dr. Stem Show will give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
I, too, am childless. And I had not thought about it or pondered about it for a while until this past week when I was talking to one of my sisters who recently got married and now they're planning to have more children. And that's when it started coming back to me, but I pushed it at the head of, you know, back of my head until my guest today walked into the library and said, guess what? I do a podcast titled Childless, Not by Choice. My heart sank and I looked up and I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do with this topic? So I guess it was meant to be that we need to talk about it and I need not sweep it under the rug because it is something that truly is on my heart and that comes, you know, on and off. So I'm glad that you're here with me today, Sevilla, to help me talk about this for myself and other women out there like myself, including yourself, that are childless, not by choice. Welcome to the Dr. Stem Show.
Dr. Stem, thank you so much for having me today. I really appreciate it. This is amazing.
I know, right? Because then, you know, there are no coincidences. And I'm so excited that you and I are both believers. So we know that God, you know, orchestrated this and made sure that the two of us met. And now, you know, I mean, before the meeting was over, we both had invited each other to be on each other's podcast. So this is it's an exciting journey. And I know that there's more for us than the podcast that we are doing today.
Yes, I agree with that.
Yeah.
Totally.
So tell the world a little bit about, you know, your journey, because I'm just, you know, just briefly an introduction. I always like to do that so that at least, you know, they know, why did you start this podcast?
Well, in fact, this month that we're in now is my 2-year anniversary of podcasting about this subject. And I started the entire platform about 2.5 years ago when I realized that I didn't see any resources online when I was in my valley. And as we go through this journey of childlessness, childless not by choice, we're on a journey, the same path. We're on the same path, all of us, but our journeys can be slightly different.
Yes.
As far as the reasons why we're childless, circumstance such as not meeting Mr. Right, or infertility, or fibroids, or miscarriage, PCOS, you name it. Those are the top 3 or 4 items or reasons. But I didn't see any resources, and I was in a deep valley of just sadness and depression, and that's not my typical personality. And so I got really nervous about where my mind was headed. And in fact, I had to end up going to see a psychiatrist because I just didn't like how I was feeling. And that was after having several myomectomies, which is those are fibroid removal surgeries over the course of 10 years. And then finally making the decision to have a hysterectomy in 2011. And before that, also, I had tried adoption twice. Although I did not want to raise a child by myself, I got to a point of desperation where I had started running out of time physically, and was trying to decide what to do. I even thought about IVF on my own. And my mother and I had a big knockdown, drag out fight about that. You know, and she managed to talk me out of it. But that was the level of desperation that I felt, because nobody could have told me that this would be my life, that I would never have children and never have, you know, never be married with children. That was not what I imagined when I was a little girl. I just knew I was going to have children.
Isn't that amazing? Because I too, and even now when people, you know, ask the question, do you have any children?
Mm-hmm.
I'm startled, you know, before I answer, because then the answers are different every time, because I don't know what right. to say to them, because otherwise I'll end up having all this narration that I love being a mother. I love mm-hmm. children. Oh, but I don't have any of my mm-hmm. own. And it's just like, you know, it's a big hole in your heart that just says, but I don't have children of my own. And, you know, you can just see their faces like, ooh, why did I mm-hmm. ask? But of course they have to ask, because then we look like we have children. I'm 52 years old, so of course, you know, mm-hmm. people my age have great-grandchildren by this time, but I don't. And is right. it by choice? It's not by choice, but it's that answer, that question that says, you know, do you have children? And for some reason, because we don't, we tend to attract a lot of people that ask us if we have children. Have you noticed that?
Well, I think it's just really a societal question, because especially women, they like to talk about, you know, women who have children, mothers, they love to talk about their kids. So the first thing they're going to go to is, do you have children? So they can start comparing notes. Just like men, when they talk, the first thing they ask each other is, what do you do? You know, that's typical, at least Western civilization type getting to know each other. So I kind of understand the question. But what I don't understand is, I've gotten to the point now where if I'm asked if I have children, I simply say no. As much as I know in my heart that I love children, that I just imagine myself always having children, I am finished with explaining to people.
I like that.
So at this point, I simply say no, just no.
I like that. And I think, you know what, it says a lot about, you know, where we are with it when you find yourself explaining. You know, mm-hmm. even more, it says where we are with it, to say, you know, am I okay with it? And, mm-hmm. and I am. I've gotten to a point where, just like you, I had to seek counseling as well, mm-hmm. so that mm-hmm. I can sit with a therapist. I'm a therapist myself, which is yeah. awesome, and I know how good it works. I know, you know, how valid it is to go and sit with a professional. So I sat with a professional and had to grieve. Because mm-hmm. as women that have no children, you know, and it's not by choice, we have to go through a grieving process.
Definitely.
Yes. So I had to go through that process with somebody that, you know, would help me professionally to do that. Now, mm-hmm. with family, I know you mentioned that, you know, your mother said, no, you know, you cannot go and pay for the fertility treatments, right?
Well, she couldn't tell me what to do. I was an adult, but she, as moms would do, no matter how old you are,
yep.
they have an opinion. It doesn't matter how old you are. You're still their child, and they always have an opinion. And, yeah. you know, I value my parents' opinions. And of course, when I had to seek counseling, even they had differing opinions. I never tell anybody who said which or who said what, but one of them was for it and one of them was like, well, so are you going to a counselor because you don't trust God? So they were of differing opinions when I told them, look, this is what I'm going to be doing. And they were the only ones I told initially, at least for the first year. I didn't mention it to anyone, but I just wanted at least somebody to know what I was doing. And so it was amazing to me that they had different bring opinions, but I don't want anyone to think negatively of either one, so I never say, you know, which one was of the negative side. But I want to quickly go back to something you said.
Okay.
I want people to realize that you are a therapist yourself, and you went and sought therapy. And I think that that's really important, because that's something I talk about on my platform, not be afraid to seek professional help. And so I want people to realize that if a professional can seek professional help, please realize that that's how important it is to seek help if you need it.
Oh, and you know what? I am also a very African American. Mm-hmm. Very African, actually. I'm originally from Zimbabwe.
Zimbabwe, okay.
So I am very, very African, and I do believe in what I do, and that's why I believe in seeking other therapists, you know, that can sit down, you know, that way I can go in and I am the therapist. I mean, I am the client, and sit down there, because we all go through life, and you know what? We don't have all the answers, and seeking therapy, you know, like you were saying, is not saying that I'm not a believer, because God knows, you know, I believe, and I'm a believer 100,000%. But at the same time, he also says, you know, seek and you shall find. And when you're seeking help and assistance and peace of mind and understanding, you know, besides the word, he also sends his own people to let you know where he stands with you, and also, you know, how to cope with where, you know, and how your life is at that moment. Because then for some reason, it wasn't by coincidence, I also sought therapists that were Christian therapists, you know, that are professionals, because I wanted them to be on the same page with me.
Yes.
That I truly believe that, you know, God has a plan for my life. And I know that. But at that moment, I wasn't okay with, you know, why not? Why can't I be a mother? Because I had, like many women also, you know, went in for fertility, you know, evaluations, started treatment. But, you know, at that point, the partner that I was with said, wait. I'm not going through all that. I already have my own children. So, you know, and I'm married to the guy, you know. I have my own children, so I'm not going through all that, you know, medical work. And there was no support at all.
Wow.
And many women go through that, where you have a partner, you know, who at that moment I truly said, you know, what a selfish person that, you know, that you don't understand how I too want to be a parent, and you are a parent, but you will not go through this with me, because, you know, now we're going through medical assistance. But you know what? It was all, you know, in God's plan. And, you know, for some years I went through without being able to forgive, you know, this man. But I noticed that, no, if it was meant to be, and he understood what this process is about and what it meant to me, then he probably would have gone with it. But I don't know what, you know, his reasons besides what I knew that he said were. So I forgave him, and also forgave myself, and got to the point. And all this had to do that through counseling. That's why I highly recommend it. You know, I now do, you know, therapy, as we were discussing when we met. I also do it over the phone for people, and Skype, to help women and men. There are also men that are struggling with being childless by choice. Have you noticed that?
Well, I started incorporating that into my intro, women and men who are childless, not by choice, all around the world, because initially I just thought about women. But yes, I've actually interviewed, I've interviewed one man for my podcast because he wanted children. And so that interview was quite interesting to hear it from a man's perspective. And I've talked to several men about childlessness, and that's when I realized, wait a minute, men can be childless, not by choice as well. Amazing how that happens.
And you know what? I was reading, as we were preparing for this, I was reading some research. I'm for research and finding out, you know, what researchers are finding out. Most of the research is done for women that are childless, not by choice, and not men. So I don't think even the researchers have, you know, started talking to the men that are childless, that are also struggling with being childless, not by choice.
I doubt it, and men are different, as we all know. They process things differently, so it may be a little bit more difficult to talk to them. I know that I have a group on Facebook that's for women only, because mixing men and women in a group, I think, changes the dynamic, of course. So I don't want to mix them, but I thought about creating a group just for men, but I was advised to wait until men wanted to join. Well, two men asked to join my group. And so, of course, when you're on social media too, you have to make sure that people are legitimate. And so there is a need, I guess, is my response. There is a need for men to get some kind of way to talk about their childlessness. And so we're going to have to do something about it. Not sure what, but something.
And it will all come together. It's interesting that the world is changing. There are a lot of
Yes.
things that are changing around us. And back in the day, it wasn't, even talked about that people, are childless, not by choice, because we know. Let me tell you something so interesting. In Zimbabwe, and I didn't know this, that when you got married and you couldn't have children, which it has been happening for years, way before us, that people couldn't have children. Their husband actually would go in and have a child with somebody else in the village that was a relative. And then, the wife got to raise this child as their own. And it was never talked about, or the some other relative, if it's the problem with the men, would impregnate the wife, and then they would go on as if it's their child, when they knew that, you know what, it wasn't. It was maybe the brother-in-law that had come into the home and helped them out. And I started hearing these stories, and I thought, what? So
Oh my
it
goodness.
Yep. So it has been something that has gone on for years and, not talked about. So I applaud you for being the voice and allowing men and women to have a voice
Thank you so
about
much.
this. Yes. So congratulations and, happy anniversary, because I know you mentioned that this is 2 years of being on the platform.
Of podcasting. I started the platform 6 months before, but got into podcasting 6 months in. I was originally on a local AM station, but I wanted more power over my platform and my voice and my time. And I started hearing about this podcasting, and I said, "What is this?" I started researching it, and I said, "This gives me more power over how long I want to interview people, how many episodes I want to put out to the world, and it's worldwide. People are listening to me on a global level, and so I hear from people all around the world all the time." I said, "This is wonderful." So I got into it, just jumped right in and started growing the platform from there. But I met my podcast producer online, and he built my website, and then he started producing my podcast, and we just started building the platform, creating the Facebook group, and just really getting the word out about the fact that we can now have a conversation and create awareness for the whole demographic and stop hiding in plain sight, which is what I was doing as well.
Well, we're a new breed of talk radio, and with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio, with shows like Blue Lives Radio, OPSEC Radio Special Operations, shows that impact your health, like The Misdiagnosed Life, The Dr. Stem Show, and our newest show, Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Thank you for sharing part of your day with us here at America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Well, looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for Friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to americaoutloud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
So I always like to be that, you know, that person that is listening now and listening to our podcast and going, okay, ladies, I understand that you are childless, not by choice. And there are many people that are childless by choice. But there's so many children that, you know, you can adopt. And there's so many children that need loving and caring people, even if they're not from your own womb. Why not just adopt?
That's the number one question in this space, in this demographic, is that question. And it really annoys a lot of childless, not by choice women. And I understand why they ask the question, because there are a lot of children who can who need help around the world. I see some pictures sometimes, because I'm a big Pinterest person. And one of the pages that I have on Pinterest is of children around the world. And I see how they just need love. Their parents sell them and trade them, and, you know, all manner of crazy things are happening to children around the world. And so I understand the question, but what a lot of people don't understand is you can't just go into a store and pick one out and say, I want this one, like you buy a dress. The average adoption is about $30,000. And when we see a lot of these well-known popular people on TV adopting, and it looks like it took no time. It probably took no time for them to adopt because of who they are and the connections that they have. But for the rest of us, regular people, the average adoption is about $30,000. And you have to deal with adoption agencies that go out of business. I heard recently of one woman who, she and her husband took all of their savings and sent it to an adoption agency, only to find out that the adoption agency had filed chapter 13 for businesses. So they filed a chapter 13. And those people are never going to see their money again, and they're definitely not going to see a child. I tried to adopt on two occasions, and as a single woman at the time, I hear things are different now, but at the time, they didn't want to bother with me because I was a single woman, although I was a registered representative, aka a stockbroker, at a very well-known brokerage firm. I had been there for 11 years, but they didn't care about the fact that I had the money to raise a child. I was single. And so in one case, they just didn't return my phone calls after the initial meeting. And in the other case, I went looking for the agency and never found it. They wouldn't answer the call while I was on the road looking for them. And when I got back to work, I think that was a turning point for me. When I got back to work and realized I was not going to meet with this person, I called, she answered the phone, and I said, I was trying to find your office. What happened? And she said, oh, well, so I probably avoided drama there too. But after that, I didn't try adoption again. So there are a lot of things going on. You can't just adopt. It's not that easy.
I'm so glad that you explained that, because then I know that that's a question and that's a comment that a lot of people make. And, you know, in other words, it's just general conversation for most people. But to us, the people that, you know, do not have the children, one, it takes also a lot, you know, emotionally, to come to that point where you say, you know what, I'm resorting to going for the adoption and adopting somebody else's child. Because as women, you know, I went through, I'm sure you probably did, where you envision yourself having a baby shower. You envision yourself going through the whole 9-month pregnancy and holding your own baby. And it's in the mind, but then you get to that point where you understand that, you know, this is never going going to happen, and it's not meant to be, you know. And now I can get, you know, to adopt somebody else's child and to face, you know, all the things that you've mentioned, plus the money, because then I know even for fertility treatments, you know, when I first went in and they said, you know, the first payment is $20,000, and it's, I didn't have that kind of money. I didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah, that's another thing people don't realize. Infertility treatments are expensive, and they're typically not fully or even halfway covered by insurance.
No, they're not. Yeah, they're not. And I know when I tried, it was over, you know, I was over 30. So at that point, they say, you know, your chances of having a child are, you know, 0.6% or something, you know, because you're over 30. So, no, it's not covered. So, I mean, there are roadblocks in every turn that you turn.
Yes, definitely. And I actually worked at a specialty pharmacy where we dispensed drugs for chronic diseases, people who are terminally ill, and infertility medications. So I worked up close. I wasn't on the team, but I would sometimes have to take the rollover calls if the team was busy. And my team sat next to theirs. So I sat there for 6 years, and I worked up close and personal with the whole process of the infertility treatments and having to take them at a certain time of day and all of the things that you have to do. And they plunk down that credit card and say, here's 10 grand, you know, for another try at a baby. And this is why I don't understand. I didn't understand really in the beginning, but I'm trying to understand now and trying to explain to people who just don't get it, that if there is a place in this world, in Zimbabwe, where a family member is willing to go in and sleep with another family member to help them create a child, do you not understand how a woman feels when she realizes she cannot have a baby? It's that important. Want a baby.
Well, guess what? I'm so excited, because then we also get to a point where we have to understand that some people, and sometimes they will never be able to understand it, and they won't get it. And it's up to us. We don't have to justify ourselves. We don't have to explain ourselves. And it's now time for also our new generation and this niche of people to define how we're going to live our lives and define a new way of living, that, you know, those that have children can also see that, you know what, you actually can have a good life being childless, not by choice, and you don't have to be a mother. Well, because we didn't define this, we didn't choose this. Apparently, God, higher power, universe saw it fit that there has to be a generation of people like us that, even though we desired to have children, we are not able to.
Most definitely. A couple episodes ago, I recorded a monologue on the fact that I was beginning to feel like a fraud. And that's actually the name of the episode, that I feel like a fraud, because how could I be talking to women and telling them that you can have a relevant and joyful life, that you have to choose to have a relevant and joyful life? How could I be explaining this to them when I sometimes still, on Mother's Day is my thing now, I struggle. You know, before it was as just anything having to do with motherhood or children that I struggled and, you know, felt the sadness and the depression. I've gotten better over the years, and now it's Mother's Day. And so I felt like a fraud for a while, because I'm trying to explain to these women that you can do better and feel better and live a joyful and relevant life. And I'm struggling with Mother's Day. But I was explained by a good friend and my brother that I am not a fraud. And my friend actually said, how could you talk to these women if you didn't understand how they feel? And so, yes, I wanted children, and I don't know why God chose me, because maybe he thinks I'm outspoken enough. Although I'm an introvert, when it comes to this subject, I am outspoken enough that I have stepped on toes, and it's okay, because I am here to get the word out and to create the conversation and stop the whispering, the societal whispering about women who don't have children, that and why they don't, because people go that far as to explain why they don't. And strangers will tell you why you don't have children and what you can do to have children, although you did not ask them anything. So I'm getting the conversation out that that is no longer possible for you to come and approach me and tell me what to do to have children or say that you're sorry. I have created boundaries, and I'm showing women in this space how to create kind but firm boundaries around themselves for, and around their health, mental health, actually.
I like that. And as we say, we don't have to justify ourselves because, in the beginning, there was a need to probably explain that this is not my choice. It's just happening. Oh, have you tried this? But you know what? It's a deeply personal issue. Mm-hmm. that we are going through that, you know, sometimes we just would rather not explain or talk about it. So I like the fact that you're talking about boundaries because setting boundaries is key for every woman and man that is going through this. You do it in a very nice way, but people can tell that, I guess, you know, this is it. They don't want to discuss it and they don't want to talk about it. And it's okay to do that.
Yes. Yeah. More than okay.
And you know what? Don't worry about, you know, appearing as if you're rude, because then guess what? Everybody will judge you one way or the other. So it doesn't matter if they think that you're being rude, but sometimes you just have to be abrupt and say it as it is. I don't have any children, and honestly, I really don't want to talk about that. Anyway, how are your children doing?
Mm-hmm. Always ask about their children.
Yes.
You know? Encourage their children, pray for their children. This is what I tell the women on my platform. I say, look, if you can help anywhere in your community, help. You know, do what you can. Of course, I don't want you to ever be scorned. So be where you're wanted and needed, and not where you're not wanted and needed. And there are people who are going to make their little comments and commentaries. I've heard them myself. I've been told that, well, it wasn't God's plan for you to have children by women who have children. And, you know, I remember one time I was helping volunteer to wrap gifts, and there were a bunch of women in there. And of course, you know, a lot of women get together. What are they going to talk about? Their children. And so, of course, I remain silent. And this is what I always say to people who have children. If you are in a group and there's one person in that group who's silent, saying nothing, guess what? They have nothing to say because most likely they have no children. We need to be more aware, but I think there's a difference between walking on eggshells and being aware. And we need to be aware that not everybody's living the same kind of life that we are, whether we're childless, not by choice, or we have children in a family. Not every woman is a soccer mom and running out on Saturdays to take their kid to practice. And so we just need to be aware of each other, I think. If we're more aware, I think that things would go better for everybody.
Yeah, but then I like, and this is just a preference, my preference of, you know, teaching, empowering, because I know we have the same words, which is so awesome, being passionate about something, but encouraging and empowering men and women who are the ones that are childless, not by choice, to work on themselves so that they're strong enough to have a conversation with someone that has children, that is excited about sharing about their children or asking you whether you have children, and not be sensitive about it, to say, you know what, they need to be aware and to be a little bit sensitive that I don't have children or that there are other people, because we are responsible for our own reactions and how we react and deal with this. So when we are comfortable with where we are and who we are, guess what? Nobody has to walk on eggshells. When they step on that, you know, on that toe and ask the question or say a comment, we have the choice of not taking it personal, because they are just talking as if, you know, you also have children or you're comfortable with not having children, and it's just a conversation, really, truly, because I don't think that people go out there intentionally wanting to really hurt somebody else or to say a statement that will annoy someone who doesn't have children.
Well, most times they don't. They don't even realize what they're saying.
Yes.
That same wrapping party that I was at, I was admiring one of the gifts that had already been wrapped, and one young woman said, and she has children, she said, oh, this looks like it was wrapped by a woman who doesn't have any children. I said, well, I don't have any children, and I sure would have wrapped it like that, because it was very beautifully wrapped. Looks like they used cloth cloth to wrap it with, cloth and paper. It was just very, the person that wrapped it took their time with it. And so I could kind of understand what she meant by that. But I don't think if she knew that I didn't have any children, she probably wouldn't have said it. But that's what I'm saying. We need to be more aware when we make comments. Why would you say that something was wrapped by somebody who doesn't have any children?
My mouth is just open. I'm just like, ah. My mouth is just open. You know, I'm like,
what does that mean? What does that mean exactly? So I told her, I said, I spoke up. I was nice, but I said, well, I don't have any children and I sure would have wrapped it like that.
And because what does she say?
Nothing. Nothing. Which is fine with me. Just say nothing, which is a lot of times what I say to people. Just say nothing. Nothing is usually your best course of action. Say nothing. You know, I've gotten those types of comments down through the years. So it's how we, like you said earlier, how we deal with those things that matters, because people can say whatever they want to, but how am I going to deal with it? And so I just decided to make sure she understood that she was talking to somebody who didn't have children, and just, you know, watch what you say. I didn't tell her that, but I think going forward, if she has any sense, she will watch what she says in the future. Because I could have just said nothing too. I could have just smiled. But that's not my platform. My platform is not to smile. My platform is to create awareness and conversation. And so I created awareness for her.
We're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. Well, we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com.
We're talking today about childless women and men, not by choice. So during the first segment of this, we probably and hopefully, you know, made you aware that it's not an easy thing to just go and adopt another child, to just go and get IVF treatments. It's not a solution that everyone is going to choose or want to do, because it's something that is individual and every person has to deal with it on an individual basis. So what we're doing today is we are educating. We are also enlightening all those that probably were not aware that their coworker, their friend, the next person that they're talking to might be struggling indirectly with this or is okay with it. I'm very okay with it, you know, now knowing where I am and I can deal with it, you know, very well. Maybe, you know what? It's because I took the time to work on myself and to get to the point where I could be okay having this discussion like we're doing today with my guest, Sevilla, who has a blog that actually talks to men and women that are childless, not by choice. So, you know what I wanted to do in this next segment? Let's talk about, you know, the stages of grief, because I think as a coping scheme, if people realize that, you know what, there are really 5 stages of grief as well for people that are childless that you have to go through, and it helps you come to that point of where am I with my grieving and where am I with my comfort level of not being childless. And as you know, there are 5 stages of grief. Did you deal with this, and have you talked about the stages of grief at all on your blogs?
I dealt with it, and I'm actually creating a workshop around it now, because I did personally deal with it. And I see a lot of the women in my group dealing with it, because they tell me about the feelings of anger, the feelings of trying one more IVF treatment, the different stages that they are. And I know I bargained I became angry. I begged God. Everything that every step of the way, I did deal with it. So now I'm creating this workshop for these anyone really, but for women who are childless not by choice, that I'm going to put on the website, and I'm going to have a few workshops on there. So I'm working on it to answer the question.
Okay. So, you know, just to help those that are listening to this blog, you know, that first stage of grief is denial and isolation. And I think as we were talking, we talk about that part where every one of us, men and women, believe that, you know what, when I grow up, I'm going to be a parent. I'm going to have my own children and I'm going to get married. That's all, you know, we never knew that you could also have a choice to have children outside of marriage. It was always, I'll get married and I'll have children. And then you get to that stage where, you know, maybe you're fortunate enough to be married, but then you can't have children. So you start off by, you know what, no, this is not happening to me. You know, there's nothing wrong with me. I've always wanted children. And it becomes a you. You self-blame yourself, like, what is going on with me? You know, did I wait until I was too old, especially for professional people, men and women? Did you wait until it was too late to start? Or, you know, could you blame it on your career? So I think that's one of the things that goes on into that denial and then, you know, the isolation. And I think for me, it was difficult, more difficult, because then I'm the oldest child and I have, you know, six siblings that all have children. And I'm the only one that doesn't have children. And you know what? I mean, it's one of those things that, like we were saying before, that it's deeply personal. Because then I know for me, a lot of people look at me and they think, you know, because of everything that I do, or maybe, you know, she's being picky and choosy and she's writing her books and she's got this radio and TV and, you know, that's why she's, you know, an opera that is just by choice not wanting to have children. And it's totally opposite, that if it's not happening, I'm not going to sit there in that denial and isolation. I'm going to move on with life and do other things, because, you know, I mean, it didn't happen and it's not going to happen. So I probably quickly moved into the stage five after years and years of trying everything, even to the point where you ask somebody else that you know, I'll pay you money for you to help me have a child. And, you know, you realize that, you know, morally, this is probably not right. You know, how will I face you? And you try that anyway, and then it doesn't work. So you say, you know what, I've tried everything. So let me go to stage five, acceptance.
I just, you know, I just couldn't get it took time, in other words, to get from one step to the other. I really, I at one point stopped praying. I stopped talking to God because I was like, you know, the two things that I wanted out of life, there were only two things that I asked you for, God. And I didn't think they were outside of the realm of possibility, because they happen for people every day. And you gave me neither one. And so I stopped praying. I was like, what's the point? He's not answering my prayers anyway. I mean, 10 years of praying and begging God to help me, to heal my body, and to send Mr. Right my way. Yeah. And for 10 years, it didn't happen, really. So I just stopped praying for a good number of months. Mm-hmm. And at one point, my mom asked me if I was mad at God. And I didn't answer her. And she said, please don't be mad at God. Please just wait on him and let him help you. And I was like, okay, whatever. So yeah, there was that anger. It was the anger. And sometimes people ask me if I'm angry when I see how some women mistreat their children. And no, there was a point when I was angry. The different crazy stories you hear of women burying their children, young women, you know, having a child and out of desperation, maybe burying their child alive, and all the crazy things you can hear. And I really began to realize that a lot of these times we'd like to, in America, blame everything on mental health, but a lot of times it is a mental health issue. And a lot of times these women have dealt with very bad things before they even had children. So I put things into perspective, not as an excuse, but as a way of being real. Put things into perspective, and you're not going to be angry with these people. You just feel sad and hurt, and you wonder why God would just not allow you, the person people always said would be a good mother, to have children, but he would allow these people to have children. But it's life. We have to realize it's life too.
You're right. And what I love about it, it's truly one of those things that it's an independent journey that each woman and man will have to go through their own way, their own time. There's no rush. There's no delays. And everyone is going to go through this in a very different and unique way of dealing with it.
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I said it earlier. We're all on the same path, but our journeys are slightly different, and that includes the healing process.
And with some people, you know what? It's probably never going to be a point where they reach that stage five of acceptance, and they will continuously go through, you know, the different stages. And I don't want to lie, even if you get through to the stage of acceptance, which is, you know, where I've been for years now, as I said earlier on, last week we were talking to my sister who's now, you know, going through planning a family because she's recently got married. And I went right back down again to stage one, where mm-hmm. I thought, oh no, why not? If they're starting over in their 40s, late 40s, why couldn't I have started there? So you go through that again, and then you go through the anger of saying, you know what? There must be something yeah. wrong with me, God. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, and then you bargain again. So mm-hmm. it's an ongoing thing that you never know what triggers it. But the key to it is, how do you deal with it when those triggers come in? What is it that you can do? Say to yourself. And I'm amazed at how God steps in all the time and says, okay, here we go again. I don't want you going back down into the depression. So let me bring Sevilla in and just shock you so you can start talking about it and help. Because we are on the platform where we are going to be talking and encouraging, empowering other people that are on this journey called life. And mm-hmm. this is what God has selected us to do. So each time that we have to go through, you know, anything, we're going to go through it on the platform. Because a lot of people are saying, well, you talk too much and that's too much information. But guess what? That's our calling. That's what yes. we do. We have to go through the TMI in order to help somebody else who didn't have the courage or the platform to talk about it and doesn't have anybody else that they can talk about this, you know, grief, deep-seated mm-hmm. grief, you know, that they're going through.
Yes, it's definitely deep-seated grief. Yeah. And yeah, we can get to the acceptance, like you said, but we have... You know, there's a song that goes, there's a God-shaped hole in our heart. And I think there's a verse in Psalms about it as well. And, there's a God-shaped hole in our hearts as women because we don't have children. It's not going to go away. Even if we get to the stage of acceptance, it won't go away. And we just have to, when we fall into those little moments where we start to question again, or going back into this, the stages of grief again, we have to recognize it. And I think that's the first step. Just recognize it for what it is, face it, and then move on. Because nothing, as you said, it's not going to change. It is what it is. I'm 51. I'm going to be 51 in August. So I'm not going to have any children. I'm not even married. And as you said earlier, many of us were raised to say we're going to get married and then have the children. And so even at 51, I wouldn't want to have a child without being married, per se. Although, yeah, I would adopt, maybe. Although I've always said at this point, no, I don't think I could deal with it. But you never know what God has planned. Am I holding out my hat for adoption? No, I'm not. I'm working on my platform and creating awareness. And I want women to realize that, yes, we're in this space where we are childless, not by choice. When we do face those moments, that's why we have to have community, because one of the things with being childless, not by choice, is we feel like we're the only one. And there are millions of us around the world. We're not the only one. And that's why we have to create a community where we can go in and vent and talk and cry. And that's what my group on Facebook is all about. These women come in from all over the world. They join in. We all have one thing in common. We're childless, not by choice. Doesn't matter how we got there. We all are childless, not by choice. And we come in and we say, can you believe what this person said to me? Or can you believe my sister-in-law is pregnant again? Or, you know, things like that. So you come in and you talk and you let it out, because you can't do that out in the quote unquote regular world without sounding like a hater.
I would have loved to be a parent, but I know my place. I know my role, that I am a therapist and I'm working with you, the parents, to help you mold and shape your teenager to be that teenager that you'll be proud of. And I'm so glad that, you know what, every one of those parents, when their children graduated, I got small gifts, a card that said, you know what, thank you for everything that you did. And thank you for the help throughout the years for counseling and helping us as a family to deal, you know, with our child. So it's one of those that once we embrace it and know that we have a place in this society and there's something that God wants us to do with the gift of being childless, not by choice, is the key to our joy and happiness, I guess we can call it, you know, in that sense as well.
And it is truly a gift. This is a gift. What you do is a gift. And it took a long time for me to realize and accept it. But what I'm doing is a gift, because I said, it's outside of my personality. This is not me.
And that's why it's so key that you said yes to the calling. A lot of people are trying to find out what their passion is. And guess what? We had a roundabout way of finding what our passion is. So when I come to your show, because I'm a passion test facilitator, so I help people find their passions. We're going to talk about that and realize how sometimes that passion is found through a way that is more painful than anything, until we get to that point of surrendering and saying, okay, I surrender. I'm not going to fight this. I'm not going to look for this anymore. What is it that you want me to do with my life, Lord? What is it that you want me to do with this, you know, particular, you know, thing that I'm dealing with, that I'm, you know, that is painful? And guess where you are now? You have a platform that is encouraging millions and more millions to come.
Right. And I'm thankful. I hope I don't mess it up, and you know, I'll do the best I can with it. And I think the key is, though, to face it. Just know that it's there, and know that God-shaped hole is there, and just deal with it and help others deal with it.
Yes, and if I may help you, you cannot mess it up, because it's not yours. And I go about with my work. My biggest thing is I always say it's not about me. So when I face, you know, things that, you know, people are making comments, or people are, you know, saying things about my podcast, my radio shows, or any work, I'm also just like you, a motivational speaker. It's not about me. It's about me saying yes. And I said yes a long time ago. So now I'm just excited. I'm like a little kid to say, okay, God, where am I going today? And who am I going to talk to? And when that little fear comes in, I said, oh, it's not about me, because I know I have a bigger power that is working with me, within me, for me, and that drives me to do what I do. So there's no failing. It's always successful, because it's not about me. It's about him. So you're doing everything that he wants you to do. Enjoy it. You know, don't even think about it. Every podcast that you do, every speech that you do, every book that you write, write it, and know that it's not you writing, it's him writing through you and doing this work through you.
That's so true, because sometimes I wonder, what did I just say?
Exactly. So talking about books, I know you've written two books. You know, real quick, I know we've talked. Can you believe it? It's time already. What the name of your two books, and you know, how can they get them?
Well, my books are on my website. Okay. My website is one website is SavellaMorgan.com, and then the Childless Not by Choice website is ChildlessNotByChoice.net. So that's a .net site. And on the childlessnotbychoice.net, both books are there. The first one I wrote back in 2008 is called Down Again. It was written for and about the Christian who fell, and what they need to do to get back into relationship with Christ. And it's also for people who want to know how to get into relationship with Christ. And it's got seven or eight chapters and two or three questions at the end of each chapter. So it's a little interactive. And so it just kind of helps people get back on the path again to their relationship with Christ. And the second book I wrote in 2015 is actually a 31-day devotional. And that one just takes a woman through a month of reading short devotionals every morning or whenever a person does their devotionals. And it just kind of takes them through a little journey. It was my journey of being childless, not by choice. So it's geared towards the childless, not by choice demographic, although people who do not fit that demographic have read it and say they enjoy it. It's because it helps them deal with grief and loss. And so that's 31 Days of Encouragement, 21st Century Hannah, 31 Days of Encouragement. And 21st Century Hannah is actually the name of my entire platform and the name of my podcast. I recently changed to Childless, Not by Choice, so that it could be more, you know, easily searchable. Awesome. And so, yeah, that's the name of the platform, 21st Century Hannah.
Awesome. We are going to have all the links for the website, the podcast on this podcast on AmericaOutLoud.com, where you can listen to more from Sevilla, who's talking to about men and women who are childless, not by choice. Sevilla, thank you so much. I didn't realize that we had so much fun. And an
yes,
hour is already gone. Until next time, This is Dr. STEM. Be encouraged and encouraging.